The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, welcome to the show. Believe you me, episode something, 160, 50, I don't know. We're doing a lot of podcasts these days, but unfortunately, there wasn't a second one last week. I was in Uruguay commentating for the UFC. Foolishly forgot my microphone, okay? Most of the time, I throw my microphone and my headphones and the laptop in the bag, you know? But on this occasion, I forgot. It was an early start. I had a late night the night before, and I forgot the microphone. Lewis was very angry. He called me every name under the sun, you know? Harrington, I'm pretty sure you rolled your eyes at me a few times as well. Because you've been bitching. You've been waiting for me for 3 hours. Is that correct?
Here's the thing. I've never once bitched because I understand, you know, I work on your time, Michael Bisping. Everybody should understand that, you know? So the fact that I'm here and certain people aren't, it is what it is.
Well, Lewis is away camping with his son, which I find to be commendable, actually. I see that you're giving him digs and you're trying to pick on Lewis, but I think the fact that he is willing to like to blow off the podcast to make special memories with his son, you know, I mean, that's what life is all about. That's a true beauty of life right there. You can talk to me anytime, but you don't see it like that. Is that correct, Harrington?
Well, I mean, maybe for somebody like Luis J. Gomez, me, lowly Mike Harrington, it's only every so often you get to sit down with the UFC middleweight champion of the world and have a conversation with him.
Well, the reason you had to wait was because I was waiting for Amazon to deliver the goddamn microphone. Realized I'd forgotten it, ordered a new one to the Palms Hotel, which is where I am now. I flew in from Uruguay, which is 9.5 hours from Uruguay to Miami. 9.5 hours to Miami. And then 4.5 hours in Miami, and then 4.5 hours from Miami to Vegas. I get here. I'm looking for my microphone, which is supposed to have been delivered. It didn't get delivered. It got eventually delivered at 3:48. Took 2.5 days to be delivered. So if I had a shame bell, I would shame Amazon right now because, you know, it kind of goes against what they're all about. But we're here. We got the microphone. We're good. We got good lighting. The Wi-Fi is great. We're not crackling. My God, we're flying.
This is awesome, man. I did want to talk about that because Lewis can't be here. So unfortunately you're stuck with me. The fans will have to deal with it for the next hour and a half or so. But I did want to ask you, did you ever have any experience camping, Michael Bisping?
Well, we used to go camping pretty much every year. But not like, you know, that was our family holiday. You know, when we were younger, my dad, he had a big, massive tent and we'd load up the trailer, we'd jump in the car and we'd drive down to a place called Cornwall, which is in the southwest of England, the real bottom part of the country. It's beautiful down there. I need to go back. I had great memories visiting Newquay. All English people will know what I'm talking about. It's a lovely little seaside town. We used to go down there camping, 8 of us in a car. But this is what you did in the 80s. I mean, if somebody did what I'm about to say now, they would be in a lot of trouble or you just wouldn't do it. But we had this big old Rover, which is a type of car, not a Range Rover. It's called a Rover. Rover Vitesse, I think it was. Anyway, Mum and Dad in the front, me, Cameron and Stephen in the back, and then Maxine, Adam and Shireen, the further three, in the boot or the trunk. They put down duvets and pillows, right? And the young ones would lie in the trunk. We'd be in the front and my mum and dad in the front, right? For like a 9-hour car journey on freeways.
Michael,
but looking back now.
This sounds like a horror movie. Like this is, I'm 100% sure Tom Hardy was in a movie just like this and it ended horribly for everyone. That's wild.
Well, Well, we didn't have a fucking, fortunately, a big truck slamming the back of us. That's when it would have been bad, because Maxine, Adam and Shireen, they would have been dead. They would have been tossed, gone, wiped off the earth. I might have been okay. I reckon my younger siblings would have saved it. They would have cushioned the majority of the blow. Me, Stephen and Conrad would have been okay. And my mum and dad probably didn't even recognize. But there was a trailer behind us with the said tent in. And we used to go to Haven Holiday Homes. And it was a fucking nightmare. It was a nightmare. Don't get me wrong. Good times, good memories. But setting up the 8-man tent with my dad and my mom, who argued a lot anyway, they're not together. They haven't been together for a long time. It was World War III, because my dad, bless him, he didn't really know how to set up that big, massive tent. I mean, this was a big tent. It had like 4 rooms, like a lounge room. Do you know what I mean? And there was always bits missing, pegs missing, like poles missing in typical Bisping fashion. So yeah, we did go camping and it was a fucking nightmare. So there you go.
I mean, that sounds, I'm just trying to process like the Bisping, is the Bisping half mansion based on this 8-man tent? I can't picture like the... You have a lounge inside of a tent. Is there a fireplace in there? Wi-Fi?
It's made out of fucking nylon, Harrington. I'm pretty sure you could go to said Amazon. Don't order it from Amazon if you want it tomorrow, because it won't show up. But if you rent it on Amazon right now, I see you doing it. You could probably buy one of these tents for $200-$300, Harrington. You know, so stop trying to make out we were all grandiose. How much are they coming in at?
No, I'm seeing one for 98, but that can't possibly be right. Oh, 8-person L-shaped connect tent. Yeah, $800. I don't see any with a lounge, though. I'm looking for something that has like a bunch of rooms. No,
it's not a lounge. It's just separate little bedrooms and like one open area, you know.
Oh, okay.
And you call it a lounge. It wasn't a lounge. We didn't have a waiter and a butler standing there fucking giving you champagne as you walked in and giving you a foot massage. It was just a big shitty tent that was falling apart that always leaked. It always rains in England. So we'd always wake up in the middle of the night and it was absolutely soaking wet. Do you know what I mean? Because my dad hadn't set the tent up properly. But I am looking to go camping with Lucas. Go ahead.
I was going to say, no wonder you haven't been back. Like, if that was my only memory of camping, that would be absolutely miserable, and I would never want to do it again.
Well, no, that's not my only memory. In the summer and the school holidays, I used to go camping with my friends almost every night. You know, we'd go down to Eddisford River, we'd set up the tent, we'd do a little campfire, you know, grill some sausages on the fire and sleep. And every time, and I mean every time, wake up at 4 in the morning, absolutely fucking soaking wet, and then walk home miserable as hell. Cold, wet, hungry, miserable, thinking we're not doing this again. But then we do it pretty much the next day or a couple of days later, because you're on your own. You're 12, 13 years old and you're away from mum and dad. They always let you camp out if they wanted. But anyway, people don't want to hear about my camping shenanigans.
I kind of want to hear about your Mark Twain, Huckleberry Finn kind of, you know, just camping down by the river life. That sounds kind of cool to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess growing up in New York. Did you grow up in New York City?
No, I grew up in Westchester County, just outside. So there was always like, you know, plenty of like forest and everything around me. It was plenty of greenery. But, you know, I did the old Cub Scouts back in the day. That was about as far as I went with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I used to do the Cub Scouts. In fact, I got banned from the Cub Scouts. Well, first of all, I got banned from the Cubs, yeah, which is Cubs. And then from Cubs, you go to Scouts, right? So I got kicked out of Cubs, so I started Scouts early. Never for being that bad, but I always had too much to say. I kept interrupting the Cub leader. And, you know, so I kept getting sent outside. I spent more time stood outside than what I did inside. But anyway, went to Scouts. But anyway, who gives a damn about that? Okay. UFC Uruguay was happening at the weekend. We do have a massive fight card this weekend. UFC 241 or 242, which is it?
UFC 241.
241. DC, Stipe, Diaz, Pettis, Yoel Romero, and Boachinha. What's his real name? What's Boachinha's real name?
Paulo Costa.
Oh, that's it. Paulo. Yeah, that's happening at the weekend. Me and Lewis, we're going to do another show tomorrow. So we'll save all the Diaz and the DC and the Stipe talk for that. And we'll just focus on whatever there is to focus on, which I guess we'll start with recapping UFC Uruguay. We had Valentina Shevchenko in the main event taking on Liz Carmouche, which was a rematch. I don't know if people knew that. It was a rematch 10 years ago. Carmouche beat Shevchenko, hit her with an upkick, opened up a massive cut on her eye. And yeah, she wanted to get that one back. And there were some other good fights. I mean, Mike Perry and Vicente Luque was just unbelievable. There were some great fights. But I'll let you choose, Harrington. Where shall we start?
Well, So, like, I want to get this out of the way. It's almost like eating your vegetables. That's what the main event felt like to me. There was a lot of great fights on the card. There was a lot of great violence. It was a very dominant performance from Valentina, obviously. But what I was most interested in, I didn't know this until listening to you on the call. That first fight, I figured it was in, like, Invicta or some kind of, like, a nice regional promotion. This was, like, at some kind of a weird Indian casino, and then they were in a silo where the roof was falling down and she got hit with an upkick and it was a shady doctor stoppage. I thought this was like a dominant victory for Carmouche back in the day.
No. Well, listen, first of all, welcome to grassroots MMA. That's just the way it goes. You know, a lot of small shows, you don't really know who you're fighting. You know, sometimes the opponent falls out and they get someone, you know, out of the crowd. I've never had that happen to me, but, you know.
Is that real?
I'm serious. I swear to God. Sometimes some people be like, oh, you know what? I've been training for a bit. I'll jump in. You know, as I said, never happened to me. But grassroots, low-level MMA, that's kind of how it is. And everybody that starts has these nightmares. You show up, your opponent's not on weight. Maybe you don't get paid. You know, it's a nightmare. But anyway, so, yeah, they fought on one of those level shows. And, Shevchenko was beating her up pretty good from what I'm led to believe, but Carmouche hit her with an upkick, opened up a massive cut right on her eyelid, so which is bad because when the blood goes into the eye, you know, you can't really see. And the cut was so big that still to this day, she has like, you know, a 3-inch gash on her eyelid. You can still see it when you look closely. In fact, when I interviewed her, because this is what our head producer, the UFC, told us, if you look closely, you can see the scar on her eye. Now, I'm not that up close and personal with Valentina Shevchenko. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't have a chance. But when I was in the ring, in the cage afterwards, interviewing her, we're talking and I'm looking at her and I'm just like staring at this little scar. And yep, sure enough, there it is. You can see it. I forgot what I was talking about at some point. I wasn't even really listening to her because she was speaking Spanish. You know, and I am a cunning linguist, but Spanish is not one of my fortes. So I'm like, I don't know. I'll defer to the translator in a minute. But whilst I was doing that, I was looking at, yeah, there it is. You can see the scar.
So you were really just sitting there like something out of Austin Powers, like scar.
No, I was just trying to take a look. But go on, Harrington, give me your thoughts on the fight, right? Because listen, I'm aware of the public perception, okay? It wasn't the most entertaining, action-packed fight. The crowd didn't help. I'm not talking shit about the Uruguay crowds, but they were pretty much silent throughout the entire fight. So that doesn't help. But, you know, from the outside, sitting at home or wherever you watch the fight, what did you think, Harrington? Well,
all right. I mean, here's my problem. I think it was rough giving a fighter who's now defending her title for, if I'm not mistaken, this would be defending it the second time in a very new weight division, to put her right after the hometown kid, I think kind of hurt her. You know what I mean? The hometown guy gets up, gets a big win right before the co-main event, then Perry versus Luque. It's such a hard thing to build up to that.
Hold on. Who's the hometown kid? Are you talking about what's his name?
Gregorio.
Gregorio. Oh man, what was his name? I should know this. I've got my binder up there, got my notes in. Go on, just. But I know what you mean.
Like it was.
But you can't. Go on.
No, I mean, it just, to me, it seemed like, you know, the fans had given all they were going to give for a fight where Valentina is the kind of fighter where she gives as good as she gets. You know what I mean? Like, she's been in very exciting fights. She's had knockouts. She's had submissions. But if you're not going to come in and you're not going to, like, engage with her, she's not going to hunt you down. She's going to do enough to win. She's a very smart fighter. She's very game. You know, and I think, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but I don't think that kind of a fight where you are a cerebral fighter like Valentina, you're going to get over with a crowd that's already had those kind of highs.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, regarding the hometown guy, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't have the hometown guy and I'm not giving you shit. I'm just saying you can't have the hometown guy that's making his UFC debut after Shevchenko's title fight. Okay. So, you know, regardless of the crowd peaking or whatever, that's just tough shit. You got to deal with that because, you know, he was making his UFC debut. I know he was fighting Humberto Bandanai and what was the other guy called? Gregorio something. I forget now. But anyway. So
Garibori.
Yeah, so
I'm looking up his, it's El Galagori. I'm looking up his first name right. Garagori.
Yeah, no, I know. We got the Gary Gory part. What's the other part?
Trying to find it right now. I just read an article on him this morning. He was a lawyer in Uruguay, and he left to go and become a cage fighter, which I thought was pretty cool.
Hold on. Listen. You have not sticking to the notes here, Harrington. We have a pre-production meeting here, everybody. And Harrington does the notes when we go through certain things we were going to talk about. We did not discuss going off on a tangent on the guy that made his UFC debut, Mr. Garagori. And even though you read an article on him, you still can't even give me his first goddamn name because Garagori is his last name. So
Luis Eduardo.
Oh, there you go. Luis Eduardo Garagori. He had an excellent debut. He looked very, very good. He did. I'm happy for him.
But your thoughts on the main event, sir?
Yeah. Listen, I think the problem for Shevchenko is that she was so amazing in her last fight. People were kind of expecting another stunning knockout, especially when you combine it with the fact that, and no disrespect to Liz Carmouche, very, very tough fighter, been around for a long period. She's kind of, you know, like one of the early fights for the female division. She deserves respect. She was in the first ever women's fight with the UFC against Rousey. She did well in that. She got armbarred, but she did take her back and threaten the rear naked choke for a while. On paper, when you break it down, when you look at it, Shevchenko's supposed to smoke her all day long. And that's what everybody was expecting. Now, the thing was, there wasn't much output in the fight. You know, there wasn't. Everybody knows that. I'm not talking shit there. That's just reality. And I spoke about this when I was commentating. You know, I think, number one, everybody was expecting something crazy. Secondly, Carmouche staying so far on the outside and hitting fresh air because she was kind of, and again, I'm not talking shit about Carmouche, as I just said, a lot of respect for her. But, you know, she was a little hesitant to really get inside the pocket. So she wasn't landing much. And Shevchenko, her game plan was to let Carmouche come to her and then counter. And Carmouche wasn't doing that. Now, of course, you know, Shevchenko's not totally innocent. At that point, you got to change game plan and try and walk them down, you know, which she did do on occasions. A few times she let loose with a Superman punch, a couple of punches and a kick. And her speed was fantastic. Her technique was great. Could she have done more? Yeah, she could have done more. She could have done more. But you got to remember, she's defending the UFC world title. You know, there's a lot of pressure there. And there's a lot of great things happen to you when the UFC champion of the world. You know what I mean? And you don't want to lose that. Number one, you got the money. You got the fame. You got the adoration. You got all that. And then you've got external opportunities. You get more sponsors. You get more recognition. Like, for example, when I won the belt against Luke Rockhold, that was on a Saturday. Monday morning, I had two emails about potential movie offers. You know what I mean? So people want to do business with world champions. You know what I mean? Sponsors want to do it. Movies want to do it. You know what I mean? You're on top of the world. You know, so when you put all that together, yes, could she have done more? 100%. Was it a classic performance? No. Was it a performance that, you know, she's not overly proud of? Perhaps. But was it truly dominant? Was it utterly one-sided? Yes, it was. And what you've got to remember is that as a champion, sometimes that's going to happen. I mean, look back at Anderson Silva. Look at his title reign. Not every fight he was in was the most sensational fight. Yes, he provided many, many beautiful, extreme, creative knockouts that just captured everybody's imagination. Pardon me, phone. But some of them, I mean, the first one that springs to mind is Damian Maia. Oof. I mean, that fight was just goddamn awful, you know, but it didn't affect his legacy, Harrington.
No, I mean, I was talking to one of the Legion of Skanks guys earlier, Dave Smith, about this. And like when I came into the sport, when I really got like interested and invested, GSP and Anderson Silva were dominating. You know, and it was one of those things where it was like, you know, it almost did turn you off a little bit because, you know, Silva was, you just knew what was going to happen and Silva felt kind of bored.
Yeah, but that's actually a really good point. Talking about GSP, you bring up a good point there because when GSP came first, when he burst on the scene in the UFC, he was super exciting, knocking people out, submitting them and, you know, just fun to watch. And then he kind of developed a style which, you know, became a little predictive, a little safe, and, you know, for want of a better word, perhaps a little boring. There was a lot of lay and pray, taking people down and playing it safe. But see earlier point, you know, he's on top of the world. You know, went down as greatest of all time. a lot of doors opening. You know, there's a lot of pressure defending that belt, so you don't necessarily take risks. Now, on the flip side, when you do take risks, that's what makes the public love you even more. And of course, incidentally, the prick became a lay and pray artist. Then he comes out of retirement after 3 years and comes and fucking knocks me out, knobhead, or chokes me out, whichever way you want to call it. It wasn't a good night at the office for me. Yes, I had bad ribs. We've been over this. But yeah, that's actually a good point. So anyway, Shevchenko, well done. A very, very successful title defense. Not the most stunning, you know, but as we just said, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
So I found this kind of interesting. She was the co-main event for UFC 238, where she got the stunning head kick knockout against Jessica Ai. Obviously, she's coming forward. She's being aggressive. That's a big card. Marlon Moraes versus Henry Cejudo. There's a lot of eyes on her. This felt more like it's the company woman. She's showing up. It's an ESPN Plus card in a country the UFC's never been to, in a city the UFC's never been to. Showed up on very short notice and took a fight against a very game fighter. Do you feel like there's a kind of thing where it's like, well, if there's less spotlight on me, I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to get through this one to set up a bigger fight, or like, you get what I'm saying?
So basically you're saying, oh, this isn't a massive fight. I'm not going to risk anything for it. No. Fighters don't think like that. I don't think so. In my humble opinion, fighters don't think like that. When you get in the octagon, you're with another trained fighter that is going to try and knock you out, right? And you're not thinking at that moment in time, oh, is there a lot of people watching this? Is, you know, am I going to get pay-per-view points on this and all the rest of it? Is this a massive market? No, you're not. You're thinking about beating the person in front of you. Simple as that. You're trying to preserve yourself. First and foremost, that's what you're trying to do as a fighter, not get the shit kicked out of you. Now, and then secondary is kick the shit out of them. Or beat them, or submit them, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, when you break it down to the most general terms, you know, it's about self-preservation and beating your opponent.
And that's kind of where I'm getting at. In a situation like that, where, like I said, Liz Carmouche, very game. I'm not trying to disrespect her in any sense of the word. I'm just making the point, why go in there and necessarily, like, hunt for that finish when you know that this style, where you're saying super defensive and just landing when you can, you're outpointing this person, and they're not going to have a chance to do anything to you? Why not just retain the belt, move on, and try to set up something bigger and better?
Well, yeah, you know, there is that, and I'm not totally disagreeing with you. You know, it was a safe performance, but, you know, she was clearly winning, you know, so it's like, well,
no disagreement.
I'm not going to take it. Yeah. She was clearly winning. Anyway, listen, I can't wait to see her fight again because we know what she's capable of. I don't think her stock went down at all, you know, because it wasn't the most exciting fight, but it was a clearly dominant, technically brilliant fight. It was a fantastic performance. It just wasn't edge of your seat stuff, you know? So, and I think she'd even admit that.
100%. I think she did say something to that point. I'll look that up right now. But I wanted to talk to you about her post-fight interview. I don't know if I put this in the notes, but she was having the conversation. You were there, so I didn't think I needed to put it in the notes. She said she was interested in a fight with Amanda Nunes. She's already...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, she fought Amanda Nunes twice, and she lost both times by decision, okay? She only had 3 losses on a record, 1 to Carmouche, 2 to Nunes. Carmouche has avenged that loss now. That's done. That's history. That one's eradicated from the record, kind of. Pardon me. And she has 2 losses to Nunes. That's the big fight. That's the big money fight. Of course, they were talking about Cyborg Nunes again. Cyborg's gone. She's out the equation at the moment. That's the big fight, but still, I don't think it's the right time right now. She did lose. Her last loss to Nunes wasn't that long ago, you know, so I think she needs to pick off a few more opponents at her own weight class before trying to, you know, to build the hype a bit more. You know what I mean? Get a couple of knockouts, get everybody talking, just like the Jessica Ai fight. She needs another performance like that, and then people will be like, fuck, she might just beat Amanda Nunes and it'll really sell. And that's, you know, I mean, listen, Nunes and Shevchenko, they're by far and large the 2 best female fighters to ever grace the octagon. They really are. I mean, Nunes and Shevchenko, they can get the job done everywhere. They're high-level jiu-jitsu, excellent wrestling, great cardio, strong, athletic, striking's off the charts. You know, I mean, you name it, they can do it all. So, yeah, I'd love to see that eventually down the line. All right, co-main event. Oh, my God. Mike Perry, Vicente Luque. Jeez Louise, if you're not a fan of Mike Perry after that fight, then I suggest that you don't like fighting. You cannot watch that fight on Saturday night, watching Mike Perry give everything, and Vicente Luque, pardon me, got to give him his credit as well. He won the fight. It was very close. I actually had, I get it for Perry, but I'm not taking away. It's one of those fights. You can go back and forth. You watch it again, I might have a different opinion. It was a close fight. When it's close, you can't really argue about the decision. But Jesus Christ, they delivered in every way, shape, and form.
That was a goddamn slobber knocker. Wow. Wow.
I mean, look at that nose. Look at that nose. That is absolutely smashed to pieces. Right? Smashed to pieces. And he never stopped moving forward. I mean, it was a knee to the face that did that. Both guys looked incredible. Perry, I mean, come on, man. Just from the moment he walked out into the octagon, you know, dancing, his wife or girlfriend or fiance, she's behind him. She's dancing. They're rapping away. They're singing. He grabs her. He throws her down like, you know, like they're dancing, whatever, gives her a big kiss. I thought it was incredible. All out entertainment from start to finish. And there was a couple of remarks on Twitter that I was biased about Mike Perry. I wasn't being biased. I was just really entertained by what I saw. And it's fucking awesome, you know, because he's a hell of a fighter. He's a hell of a character. And he entertains in the cage when he's walking through the cage, right? Anytime. Perry's awesome. I was just giving him the credit that's due. Now, on the flip side, Perry, he's just as awesome in a very different way. He's a quiet guy, keeps himself to himself. You know, he calls himself the Silent Assassin, you know, which is a good name for him. But in the cage, Jesus Christ. I mean, look what he did to Mike Perry, you know, so wasn't being biased at all.
Vicente Luque is, you know, like that's one of those guys where you say the dark horse in the division. Like he certainly put a stamp on that fight tonight. I cannot wait to see that guy get a top 10 fight. He looks sensational against Mike Perry. And I agree with you. I had it 2-1 in favor of Mike Perry. I think he's a warrior. I think he's the toughest guy in the room, in almost any room that he's in. But, you know, Vicente Luque looked absolutely sensational in that fight.
Whoa. So Luis J. Gomez, Vicente Luque in the room. You're saying that Vicente is the toughest guy? Luis is undefeated.
No, I said I said Mike Perry.
Mike Perry. You're saying Mike Perry is a tougher guy than Luis J. Gomez? My God.
I think they would
have
get
a bit of respect for the boss.
I think they would get along really, really, really well. Did you see this quote that Mike Perry had on Instagram after their fight?
I didn't. I will tell you a story about Mike Perry. I sent him a very nice message, and he liked it. He liked it.
Like in the DMs? Okay.
Yeah, he liked it. I'm just going to tell you right now. I don't like it when I send a text message. You know, some people, you can like text messages now, can't you? On Apple phones and Instagram, whatever. Rather than taking the time to type out a message, you can just like it, okay? And I'm not talking about Mike Perry. I'm talking about everyone. If I go out of my way and I construct a well-thought-out written message, okay, I have the punctuation just perfect. I have the spelling done. I think about what I'm saying, so it's not going to be misconstrued via text. Do me the courtesy of sending a written response back. Don't just like it. It's lazy. It's a little lazy.
I'm sheepishly grinning because I think I did that to you last week and I feel terrible about it now. But
people do it to me all the time. They just like it. I'm like, no, don't like. Yes, like it, but like it verbally. Send me back a written response. Yes, I agree with you, Mike, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? The like, it's a little bit of a cop out. You know, I think people think they're being trendy when they do it. Or they're just being lazy. They're just being fucking straight up. Yeah, thank you, Daniel. At that moment there, Brian, we're not live, are we? Can I run to the bathroom? I'm dying for a pee.
Mike, real quick, before you go and do that, can you just tell people a little bit about Wix, and then I'll tell them about building this great website?
Oh, geez, Louise. All right. Okay, so listen. Everybody needs a website. If you've got something to promote, you're trying to sell something, you're trying to get noticed, you need a website if you're going to be taken seriously. And Wix give you the freedom to create the website that you want. Whether you're promoting a business, as I say, or showcasing your work, maybe opening an online store, you can do it all with Wix. We love Wix because it's easy to use. You, in fact, built believeyoumepod.com using Wix. It has all the past episodes and even a link to order my new book, but Harrington, I need a pee. So continue to tell them about it and take over.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure building a website with Wix. It is so easy, the drag and drop technology. Literally, I can do it. You know what I mean? I update the website weekly on Wix. That is believeyoumepod.com. What's really interesting, right? You go there, you get all the latest video. You can subscribe to the podcast right there. Check out the latest videos we have, all the latest highlight clips. Like Michael said, pre-order his book. But the most important thing, I think, on that site, at the bottom, there's a little button where if you click that, you get... Oh, Michael, you're back. You get...
Oh, yep, yep. You will get 10% off any premium plan. So please go to believeyoumepod.com. Click the Wix link at the bottom. And 10% off. There you go. Website up and running, taking over the world. Super rich, loaded. Thanks to the Believe You Me podcast. Okay, what were we talking about?
I think it was something about liking text messages.
So anyway, enough about the Instagram like business. You were saying Perry put a good post out there. What was it?
Speaking of likes, Michael Bisping liked Michael Perry. I'm sorry, Platinum Mike Perry. Fight of the night. It takes two. Thanks for the bonus. You didn't have to do my face like that, though. Sheesh. Curse with this chin. Should have my guard up like you. K or not, one significant strike can do the job. When I'm healed, we'll train so you can beat these wrestlers. Congrats at Luque Vicente.
Listen, I mean, that's just all out class, isn't it? I mean, that's amazing. What a great response. What a great show of sportsmanship. I mean, that, and to be honest, Mike Perry and Vicente Luque, that's what this sport's all about. You know, you go out there, fight your fucking heart out, because both of those guys fought their goddamn heart out. I think that was one of the best fights you'll see for a while. I mean, those guys both look sharp. Perry looked faster and more technical than he ever has done. He looked fantastic. Luque, you know, I mean, his nickname's perfect. The striking was on point. Both guys just swinging with everything they had, with every blow, trying to knock each other out. Neither man hardly took a step back the entire fight. You know, the damage that both guys were doing to one another, and of course we can see the knee to the face and the damage that they did to Mike Perry. But then afterwards, hugging each other, being graceful in defeat and humble in victory on Instagram and in person. You know, as I said, that's what this sport is all about. And respect, absolute respect to both of those guys.
Well, I mean, Mike Perry, I think that's what's so interesting about him. Like you said, he at no point ever takes a step back. He's got the warrior spirit through and through. My buddy Matt, who got me into the sport, always told me it's not what a guy's record is, it's who he's fought. You know, and somebody like Mike Perry, where he's only fought killers back to back to back since he got into the UFC and has had nothing but wars, always entertaining fights. I feel like a guy like that is always one or two fights away from a title, despite not being the guy stringing together 3, 4, 5, 6 fight win streaks.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point, and I agree with you, to be honest, because somebody like that, I mean, Perry, I mean, come on. I mean, he already was, but after that performance, and Luque, again, it seems like I'm on Perry's nuts here, because I'm not, but you're talking about Perry. Both of those guys, you know, they're fan favorites now for sure, but Perry, you know, his personality and his antics are a little more out there, you know, so he gets a little more attention, and you're absolutely right. He's clearly got the skills. Vicente Luque is very, very capable of being a champion, 100%. And Perry gave him everything he got. As I say, at the time, I thought Perry had that fight 2-1, but it was close. So I'm not mad at the situation, and neither's Perry. You know, it is what it is. It was very, very close. But yeah, you're right. If he keeps fighting, and the UFC are going to keep that guy around, they want guys. Dana White loves fighters like Mike Perry. You know what I mean? So yeah, you're right. He could easily get a title shot if he stays around, keeps winning, keeps focused and disciplined. And Luque, Jesus Christ, is now on a 6-fight win streak, beating a lot of good guys. Perry is the only one out of those fights that went to a decision. He had 4 knockouts, 1 submission, and now 1 decision against Mike Perry. So, yeah, I mean, come on, both of those guys. I take my hat off to them both, and congratulations. But holy cow, that fucking nose. That nose was bad, man. I mean, I had no surgery at the start of the year. Right? My nose was all bent. My nose was like Perry's. My nose was like Mike Perry's, but not as extreme. It was. It went different directions, and I couldn't breathe. And as we know, we spoke about it, they took my ribs and rebuilt my nose inside, and it's still numb to this day, you know. My nose is still, I still can't feel it. It still runs a lot. You know, it gets annoying. My wife's like, Michael, you're actually dripping from your nose. Like, oh, shit. Okay. Thanks. It's a little embarrassing. So the point what I'm making is that was in January I had that done, and now we're in August, you know, and I'm assuming Perry had to have reconstructive surgery. So no doubt, more than likely going to be out for a while.
massive surgery. I think he was in surgery for 3 or 4 hours, something like that, rebuilding his entire nose. I wanted to ask you, on like the scale of broken noses in the Octagon, people are calling it one of the worst of all time. I mean, obviously, Andrei Arlovsky took a lot of damage to the nose in the course of his career. For me, the biggest one that comes to mind, Rory McDonald with a broken nose against Robbie Lawler. Is that one of the worst you've ever seen?
Definitely one of the worst. Obviously, it just happened, so it's fresh in our minds, so that always sways things. You know, I just remembered as well, I think there's a post out there, Andrei Arlovsky put a message or a tweet to Perry and said, "Welcome to the club," which I thought is pretty awesome. That's awesome of Arlovsky to be so self-deprecating like that. One that springs to mind is Rich Franklin, Anderson Silva.
Ooh.
I mean, that was definitely a bad one. So, yeah. So, anyway, can't wait to see both those guys in the Octagon. Going to be interesting to see who they match Perry up. Harrington at the back with a finger up. Yes, what can I do for you, sir?
I'm way more interested in who they matched Vicente Luque, because obviously this is a massive win. Biggest win of his career up to this point, you would say. His last loss was to Leon Edwards. Before that, his UFC debut. So clearly he has a great pedigree. He spent the time building himself up into a world-class fighter. Who do you want to see him fight next? I know he called out anybody in the top 10, maybe Wonderboy. Is there anybody you want to see him fight most?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Wonderboy would be good. Tyron Woodley, that'd be good. That'd be interesting because I think he deserves somebody of that magnitude. Now, Woodley, you know, he's trying to get his belt back and things like that, but, you know, I don't think he's going to get an immediate title shot. He's not going to do a Stipe Miocic and just wait around and then, you know, they throw him in there. I don't think so, you know. So he's got to beat a contender. He was supposed to fight Robbie. That one fell through. Robbie lost, obviously. Covington's fighting Usman. Who else is there? I don't know. I think a matchup with Woodley would be a good one.
Well, I really liked one of the guys in the crowd to fight him next. Santiago Ponzinibbio has been out for, I think, a little over a year right now. He is one of the most exciting fighters. His last fight actually might have been Mike Perry, or one of his last two. He looked sensational in that fight, did Santiago Ponzinibbio. I think those two guys getting it on would be incredible.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree. You know, I was with Ponzinibbio a little bit at the weekend, had a few conversations here and there. Very, very nice guy. But I tell you what, man, he has got a strong South American accent. I mean, go figure. He's from Argentina, so of course. But you know, he talk like this or no, you know, he's straight out of fucking Scarface. I'm telling you, man. He's standing there with his floral silk shirt on, looking cool as fuck. And he's, you're talking to me or no, you know my call. And I swear to God, I could hardly understand the fucking word he was saying. He was being nice and we were having a nice conversation, but I was trying to piece it together. But yeah, Ponzinibbio is awesome. There's lots of good fights. All right, what else?
Well, if we keep moving on down the card, Alir Latifi took on Bulkan Uzdemir in one of the best performances I've seen from him, arguably the most complete of his UFC career to date. Michael, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, 100%. I got to stop saying 100%. In fact, somebody on Twitter said, take a shot every time Michael Bisping says 100%. So if I say 100%, then
you'll
give me the shame back.
100% dead.
Well, no, because that's not possible. But just give me the shame back, okay? Don't go too extreme, Harrington. Okay?
No, I'm saying
We're doing good. We're doing good. Let's not go off the rails. You know what I mean? We're doing a good job here. We got no Lewis. I like this. This is in-depth analysis. You know, we're breaking it down. We're talking about the fights. There's no goofiness. There's no stupidness. It's good. We like it. We're coming across as somewhat intelligent. Let's try and continue in this vein. What was the question? Sorry, what were we talking about?
Alir Latifi versus Olkan Uzdemir.
Yeah. I mean, number one. So when we're commentating the fights, I think we talked about this recently, we have fighter meetings. So that's why I'm going to fly in early, because on the Thursday, the fighters come in one by one, you know, and, you know, the big names on the card, you don't really need to do it. But a lot of the younger talent, a lot of people making their debuts or, you know, people on the undercards, you want to get to know them a bit more. So we sit down and we have, you know, like half an hour of each fighter, and it's very... I'm very grateful for the fighters giving up their time because they're about to go off and do their weight cuts, but they got to come in and talk to us while we ask stupid fucking questions. So gracious for that. But anyway, the point of telling you that is that Alir Latifi came in and I've never really had an in-depth conversation with him before. I've said hi a few times and whatnot, you know, but what a great guy. What an absolute such a nice guy. Came in so grounded, mature, you know, just a nice person. You know what I mean? He's big into like adrenaline stuff. He's going, you know, he likes to go shark diving with great whites and all this type of stuff. Just a nice guy. And Uzdemir came in and he was the same. And he said, listen, I know I had that skid. He lost three fights in a row. He said, maybe I fought DC too early. He had some legal troubles. He had some visa issues. He had some trouble with his girlfriend. The law was involved. But all that is behind him now. All that's behind him, and he's got a clear mind. And you could see that in the octagon. I think, you know, obviously when he got in the UFC, he rose to prominence very, very quickly. But that fight there was a reminder of how good he can be when he's on. Because all round, he was very composed. It was a very mature performance, you know. And, yeah, I think he looked sensational. Lir Latifi, you know, he was trying his best, man. He was trying his best against a really, really good opponent. But it just wasn't his night. He was outmatched, unfortunately. Uzdemir is too big, too long. And he's a very, very good fighter and a great striker. So, fantastic performance.
Yeah, I mean, I love Lir Latifi. He is obviously a fan favorite. There is so much power in his hands. He's a very exciting fighter to watch. He's never been in a boring fight. He's tough as nails. I think it was Uzdemir outlanded him. I think it was something like 64-14 or something crazy like that. And he was still in there, still very game, ready to go. Do you think he might be a little too small for that weight class?
You know what? To be honest, not really. I mean, I know when you look at him, you still hear me okay? Because I'm just adjusting this. Adjusted this microphone. I'm holding it in my hand, and if I'm honest, my hand's getting tired. I'm sick of holding it. When I have a stand, it has a stand attached to it. I'm going to use the stand, okay? I don't know why I've been choosing to hold it.
You were on the stand for like when we were testing it before the show. Everything was fine.
I am done holding the microphone, okay? I'm back to the stand. Anyway, where was I? No, he's not too small. He's 5'10", right? He's at the tallest guy in the division, though. But look at him. The guy's built like a goddamn... You know, what's the expression? Built like a brick shit house. He is. You know, he's a stocky, strong, heavily muscled guy. You know, his cardio doesn't really seem to suffer. He's a great fighter. He's had some massive wins. You know, yes, seeing him at 185 would be amazing, but he'd have to slim down a hell of a lot. I don't know how much weight he cuts, but I don't think that's the issue. Listen, he was just beaten. I met a guy on the. That's the way it goes. That is the way it goes, Harrington. Well done, Uzdemir. All right, guys, I want to tell you about CBDMD. Come on, you've heard about it, CBD. Everyone's talking about it. All the fighters are posting about it. It's everywhere. It's the miracle drug, but trust me, it really is. It helps out with so many things. I've talked about it many times. My dad last came out, two times ago, hobbling about on a walking stick. Gave him a bunch of CBD, MD drops, some of the oil. Next time he came over, swear to God, no lie, walking without a stick. I said, why? He said, it's that CBD, MD that you gave to me. Now, CBD is an all-natural ingredient which is taken from hemp plants. It works with your endocannabinoid system to keep your body in homeostasis. And it has been proven to help patients suffering from pain, inflammation, anxiety, sleep, as well as those looking to maintain daily mental clarity and overall health in a natural way. So listen, there you go. I mean, it sounds very wordy and very fancy, but basically, you know, it helps with all kinds of stuff. If you've got pain, if you've got anxiety, if you need help sleeping, if you've got inflammation, it will help, you know, it will help with everything. And this isn't a fad. This isn't no placebo effect. If you Google it, you will see that all doctors sign off on it. And that's why CBD is such a popular thing now, right now. And the thing with CBDMD is that it's the best prices per milligram and guaranteed to be the highest quality, only natural ingredients in their CBD. Some of the best prices per milligram in the industry. So as I said, I mean, what more do you want? If you have ailments, if you have anxiety, if you're not sleeping well, if you are sore here and there, you suffer from a bad back, maybe a bad neck, maybe Harrington's driving you up the wall, CBD MD can help with all of it. Okay, listen, the topical cream is my go-to. I use it all the time on my knee, actually using it on my neck lately. It's a really, really good one to recover. They've got the freeze, they got drops, they got gummies, they got bath bombs, they got all kinds of stuff. So go to cbdmd.com, use the promo code BYM20, you'll get 20% off your initial order. So once again, cbdmd.com, promo code BYM 20% off. Pain be gone, sleeping back. No more pain or anxiety. Like every time you have to look at Harrington, you'll be good. You won't be bothered by it because the CBD is keeping you in homeostasis. CBDMD.com. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Okay, let's get back to the show. Before that, or I'm not sure if it was right before, we had somebody making his UFC debut, Rodolfo Vieira.
The correct? Black Belt Hunter. Wow.
The Black Belt Hunter. A lot of people Saturday night, if you watch the fights, thinking, who's this guy? And I did my research for him, for my commentating, and my God, probably one of the most accredited guys, jiu-jitsu-wise, to ever step foot inside the octagon. 5 times jiu-jitsu world champion, Abu Dhabi champion, ADCC champion. I mean, you name it. He's done it all. He's beaten some of the biggest names in jiu-jitsu. He was making a lot of money as a professional jiu-jitsu competitor, tons of sponsors and whatnot, but wanted to cross over to MMA. And he took an Oscar Piotr, the Polish guy. I think he was 11-1. Very, very good fighter. And I think Oscar gave a good account of himself, given how good Vieira is at jiu-jitsu and how strong he is. Because if you looked at the guy, not a fucking ounce of fat on the guy, and very, very heavily muscled. All those years of jiu-jitsu training obviously paid off. You know, maybe the Brazilian supplements kicked in a little bit here and there as well. But
is the same jiu-jitsu Yoel Romero's been doing, or
hey, Yoel Romero's name was cleared, $27 million. That's to be paid. Yeah. But you know, no, to be fair, actually, now you bring up Yoel Romero, I used to have fun at his expense, but to be fair, you know, and do you ever have too much coffee and an empty stomach? Oh, yes. God, that's what I've drank this entire pot.
A whole pot?
Yeah, and I'm feeling very nauseous inside and it's hurting. And it is, honestly, I'm here and I'm trying to talk about fucking Rodolfo Vieira, which I do care about. He's very good. He's really good. And so is Oscar Piotta. Okay, right. But I'm having a bad do off the coffee right now. Okay, I'm a little jittery. My stomachs feel very nauseous, you know, and I might go throw up. I need a sandwich. I need some bread. I need some carbs to soak it up. Anyway, Piotta. No, Yoel, listen. I was talking shit about Yoel because of the steroid thing, but he did get banned for steroids, right? Now, it turns out, by all accounts, he was innocent because the court of law agreed that he should be compensated $27 million goddamn dollars. And we went into depth about this. And if that is the case, then, you know, I guess I owe the man an apology.
Well, Mike, you're the one reading way too far into this. Obviously, his name is clear, and obviously, the Black Belt Hunter has no steroid allegations. I simply mean, do you think Yoel Romero's been doing jiu-jitsu to get that big? What other explanation is there now that his name's been cleared?
Well, I'm saying, I'm backtracking and saying, listen, to be fair, I owe the man an apology. You know, it's very big of me. You know, I'm being very mature here and saying the right thing. You know, so, Yoel, if you're listening, enjoy that $27 million fucking dollars. And good luck this weekend. I can't wait for that fight this weekend. What's his name again? Paulo Costa and Yoel. That's going to be sick. Can't wait. Anyway, Rodolfo, yeah, he's good. He's really good at jiu-jitsu. What do you want me to tell you? Do you know what I mean? Like the in-depth technical analysis side of me is starting to lose patience and just wants to waffle something a little more fun, which I do like talking about fights. I'm very, very, it's my specialist subject. I enjoy talking about it because it's one of the only things I can talk about with a real, you know, command. But there you go.
And you clearly have way more command of this than me. So let's move on to my wheelhouse, which is the nonsense stories, such as our friend, I can't say champ, but I can say Triple C, right?
You're talking about Henry Cejudo, right?
Yes,
I think
sir.
I know where you're going with this.
He wants to add another belt to his collection.
Can we play this? This queued up. Can we play this, you know, for the audio listeners? Because I saw this and I showed it to one of the bosses at the UFC. I was scrolling social media when I was down in Uruguay. And I'm like, yo, have you seen this? And he's on there. Do we have it ready to go or no? Oh, here we are. Here we are.
So I'm out here getting my recovery done at the USCPI.
No. Sorry.
It not that one?
No. It's the,
okay. No, leave this in. This is great. This is the realness. See, there we go. There it is. No, the one in the car. It's the one in the car. Okay, okay, get ready. Sound on. That's all we need.
Yep, we're good.
Boom, let's go.
Out here enjoying my beautiful Sunday here in beautiful Las Vegas. But my phone just keeps blowing up. That somebody by the name of Valentina the Bullet Shevchenko is the most dominant champion in the world. And guess what? I get a little jelly. Because you know what? She has gold, and I want that gold. Valentina Shevchenko, I have a message for you. I'm looking to become the first intergender world champion at this world has ever seen.
Okay. All right. Hey, listen. All fair these days, you know, gender neutrality and all the rest of it. You know, if what do they say? If Shevchenko wants that smoke, she can come and get it. But I'm not sure if I'd like go on social media and be an aspiring woman beater. Do you know what I mean? He's literally aspiring to beat up a woman. That's what he's trying to do. By the way, I like Cejudo. We're having fun, so I'm not calling him a woman beater. But he is going to social media and saying, hey, I want, because if you're going to beat her in a fight and you're going to take that gold, you're going to beat her. So he is out there telling the world he wants to be a woman beater. What are your thoughts, Harrington?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you know this or not. He is an Olympic champion. He's an Olympic gold medalist. So, you know, I don't think. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's got like a big shiny gold medal. He wears it sometimes. Pretty cool. You know, somebody like that, I think he's just a martial artist through and through. He doesn't see gender, man. He just sees somebody out there calling themselves a flyweight champion. That's all he's the flyweight champion in his mind. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Just go out there, get another belt.
Well, in this day and age, you're not supposed to see gender. It's not allowed. You can walk into any toilet you want and take a dump these days, and it's totally fine. You know, so listen, you know, he's having a bit of fun. That's what he's doing. He knows that fight's never going to happen. He's just, we're talking about it. It'll be no doubt picked up on a lot of MMA websites. He's just keeping the hype, keeping his name out there.
Yeah,
and he's having a bit of fun with it.
Especially after you ratted him out to the UFC bosses. Hey, did you see what Henry's doing?
No. How many followers has he got on Instagram, okay? Doesn't need me to rat him out. Everyone's going to see it. I just saw it, and I'm like, oh, my God, look at this. He's aspiring to be a woman beater, you know?
That is. What was his response? I need to know what the people in the back, when they see this, what do they think when they see Henry Cejudo up to his antics? Because it is entertaining.
Circle of trust, baby boy. Ooh. Circle of trust. I cannot break it. I will not step outside of that circle. The circle is forged in iron and fire, and I will not remove myself from the circle of trust, okay? Rule 27. Anyway, listen, he's out of his goddamn mind. I want to see him back in the octagon, though. I want to see him fight, not necessarily against a woman, you know? Now, we did talk about this, him and Nunes, you know? And I was saying, you know, I reckon Nunes could take it, you know, and everyone was like, Bisping's out of his mind. He's like, don't you know what fucking sarcasm is? You know what I mean? He's like, listen, in mixed martial arts, in a fight, right, two people with equal technique, the stronger, bigger person will win. I would say that Henry's the stronger one. He's definitely got the better wrestling, and he can hit hard. You got to lean towards Henry, but it's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. That will never, ever get sanctioned. Sanctioned. It will never get sanctioned, will it?
Well, I think they tried to do one in Florida. Like, it was going to be live on Facebook. One of those OG former, like, Strikeforce ladies was going to fight some misogynist troll from Twitter, and it was a whole spectacle, and I don't think that got sanctioned. So, no, they definitely couldn't sanction that at the highest level. There's just no way.
Sorry, I just got a funny text from my son. Yeah, no. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. You know, I'm going to Hawaii on Wednesday morning. I've just flown back in. That's what I got a text about. I've just flown in from Uruguay, long flight, here in Vegas, now studying for the contender. I fly home tomorrow night. I get back at midnight. I have to then drive home. And then I get picked up at 5:15 a.m. to go to the airport to fly to Hawaii. So I'm pretty excited about that. So my mind's all over the place. I finally get a few days to myself. But I've got to take the microphone and the laptop to do a fucking podcast on vacation in Hawaii. That was very expensive. We're staying in a nice hotel. Lewis couldn't even do it whilst camping, but I've got to give up an afternoon. I only get 5 days. A 5-day holiday used to be 2 weeks. Then it was 10 days. Then it was a week. Now it's 5 days. But yeah, who is that calling? Get rid of that. All right, guys, I want to tell you about our newest sponsor, Fight Camp. Let me tell you, this is one of the very best, if not the best, home workout that you can do. Here are the things that keep people from working out, okay? One, you can't be bothered. You got to get up. You got to go to the gym. You got to get dressed. You got to put your keys in the car, find your gym stuff. Maybe you're not sure what to do. Boredom, you know, motivation, can't be bothered. As I said, many, many reasons. That's why you have to pick up Fight Camp. It's an interactive boxing workout that includes tracking equipment used by professional fighters. Yeah. So what you do is, you know, you go to your, you know, well, first of all, you go to bloody fightcamp.com and you sign up, okay? But then you get your device and it has all kinds of workouts on there. They're interactive. Unlike DVDs or YouTube videos, you can't press pause and walk away. With Fight Camp, the punch trackers and the trainers will set punch goals and keep pushing you. It's just basically like having your own personal boxing coach in your house, whatever you want to work on, high interval training, you know, scientific, you know, there's all kinds of stuff, many, many different workouts, different target areas, calories burned, all those types of things. So yeah, I mean, that's what Fight Camp is basically. Have you tried this, Harrington?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you saw, my boxing technique isn't really where it should be, you know, but I did get to mess around with it a little bit at Lewis's house. And I think I genuinely think it's why he beat me in our fight. There's something about that repetition, getting up there and really, like, you know, pushing yourself to just, you know, like, you have cardio for days. Me, not so much. Right. So just getting up there and like having those goals to hit of just keep going, just another couple more. It keeps me engaged in the workout.
Yeah, and here's the thing. With Fight Camp, you're going to get all the equipment you need. That is a boxing gym in your home, bags, floor mats, gloves, punch trackers, and most importantly, the workouts, which will stream from your phone to your TV, your laptop, iPad, whatever it is. Okay, trust me. If you don't find time to get to the gym and you want a good workout, you want to get in shape and you want to have some fun, you want to burn a few calories, get a sweat on and feel better about yourself, I very, very strongly recommend this. So, go to joinfightcamp.com. That's joinfightcamp.com. And use the promo code BELIEVE. You'll get $100 off. This is a complete boxing gym in your house with interactive workouts. So once again, go to joinfightcamp.com. Promo code BELIEVE for a whopping $100 off. Okay, where were we? But anyway, yeah, there you go. What else is going on, Harrington?
Well, somebody who Henry Cejudo might fight. Frankie the Answer Edgar. He announced that he is making the drop down to bantamweight. And I think, Brian, that was the other video that we had up from Henry Cejudo, the champion in that division, who is ready to welcome the Answer to his division.
Yeah, good. Good. I like it. I'd love to see Edgar down there against Cejudo or anybody. I mean, Edgar's an OG. He's been around forever. Former lightweight champion. Went up to 145. Down to 145, pardon me. He's trying to be a champion again. You know, he needs to fight in his right weight class. You know, the competition's really good these days. You know, could he do it? 100%, you know. But he has been around a long time. I don't know if we'll see Frankie Edgar for that much longer. I think he's just trying to do everything he can to become a champion before he retires. You know, I don't know how old he is, but you know, he probably might not even be that old. It's just that he's been around forever. So I kind of think that he's old, but he probably could be like 32 or something.
Yeah. And I think it's the wars too, but no, it is. He's 37 years old. He doesn't have many more miles left on the odometer, but you do make a good point. I think it's very, very conceivable. If he went down to bantamweight, if he gets one, maybe two wins against top 10, top five opponents, he's got to be right there for a title shot, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%, 100%. But anyway, here's what I want to talk about because we've got the notes.
Yes, sir.
Leon Edwards and Masvidal go back and forth through the media as Edwards claims Masvidal turned him down. Masvidal disputes the claim with some harsh words. Pray tell, Harrington, explain.
Leon Edwards took to, you know, a bunch of the different, you know, MMA sites. He gave an interview, basically said, you know, Masvidal has turned me down. He doesn't want this fight. Obviously, Masvidal was campaigning for a title fight against Kamaru Usman. Colby Covington went out there. Great performance in his own right. He is going to be booked against Usman once Usman is back from surgery. So Masvidal's left without a fight. Edwards is pressing him, take the fight, take the fight. Masvidal is not very happy with what he with these allegations. Do you want me to read the quote here?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
it's not going to be on his terms or whatever the fuck he wants it. It'll always be on mine. That's what bothers him so much inside. You're a fucking nobody. I run this show. You listen to me. When I say I'm going to kick your fucking ass, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. I'm going to get paid now. Like I said, 16 years, I've been chasing the dream of getting the belt. You think I'm going to let some fucking bug like this guy even slightly throw me off my road, my destiny towards my greatness, towards the belt? I'm going to get that belt, and I'm going to eliminate him off the face of the earth. My God.
Brian, you messed up. We should have had a ba 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 ba. Come on, dude.
My fault.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. Anyway, all right.
Fuck him.
Wrong one. Anyway, so I was with Masvidal at the weekend. Now, of course, as we know, the beef is squashed. We were with each other at International Fight Week recently. And then we actually we got to hang out a little bit at the weekend. And believe it or not, we both shared a 45-minute taxi ride from the hotel to the airport together last night. You know, both sat in the back of a taxi with our seatbelts on like dorks and, you know, just chatting away. You know, like best buds. And he's actually a really cool guy. He's a really cool guy, he is. And I see a lot of myself in him. Of course, he's, you know, from a very different background, but mentality-wise, we're very, very similar. And yeah, no, good dude. And, you know, hanging out with him and Chito Vera and Ponzinibbio, you know, all good guys, all good guys. Listen, I get what Masvidal is saying, and I get what Leon Edwards is saying. Leon Edwards wants the biggest fight he can get. Right. And Masvidal would be that right now. I don't think Leon's going to get a title fight. Well, Colby and Usman are fighting for the belt. Exactly. So the big name right now, the big name that isn't a champion is Masvidal. After what he did to Till and then what he did to Ben Askren, you know, we know he's hot property right now. And I can't blame Masvidal. I understand Edwards. I understand him wanting that fight, especially when Leon cracked him. Sorry, Masvidal cracked him. Right. So it's personal as well. But from Masvidal's perspective, and again, just because we had a couple of we just shared some kind words and hung out a little bit and exchanged numbers, and he said he's going to come on the podcast, which will be epic, just because of that, I'm not like pussyfooting around him. I'm just being honest with the hype that he's built right now. Right, his career has never been this high. Right, he's never been so highly thought of as regarded, and a lifetime of work. And he was telling me, because I asked him, Masvidal, how did you start? He started wrestling and boxing at a very, very young age. And he was saying, you know, he was doing those backyard fights and stuff, and his boxing coach pulled him to one side and said, yeah, his boxing coach pulled him to one side and said, listen, you're better than this, right? If you want to keep doing this, fair play, I get it. But I think you should go professional and try and really become something. And that was like a defining moment in his career that he was telling me. So I understand Masvidal. He wants the belt or like a massive fight, like a Conor or something. So it's and it's a risky fight, you know, without much reward. No disrespect to Edwards. Edwards is fantastic. And I said, probably the UK's best chance of being the next champion right now. So there's no shame or anything being thrown his way. But for Masvidal, he wants the bigger name, the bigger fight. And that's the only problem what Leon has right now. He's the whole package. He fights well. You know, he's incredible. He's got all the skills, but he hasn't got the fan recognition. That will come. It will. If he keeps winning fights, it will come. But that's Masvidal's whole issue. He's like, no, you know, you're not the name I'm looking for. So I get it, but it's fun to read about online.
You have Michael Bisping said it best. You have to assume, though, Michael, if they were to fight, that would take the title eliminator moniker on it, right? Like those two, certainly, whichever one wins would have to be guaranteed a shot at the winner of Usman versus Covington. So there is something there. I know Masvidal said he was willing to take a non-title fight now if they back up the Brinks truck. They're going to have to pay him. He wants, you know, a lot of money for that fight because he is a massive name right now, and there's no doubt about that. He's not guaranteed a title shot, but I think he could be guaranteed a nice pay raise. And then a title shot off of a win, no?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. It's a fair point. But again, you know, he wants to capitalize on this position that he's been in. You know, he's a longtime fight veteran. You know, he's worked his ass off. He's had his ups and downs along the way, much like I did. And now, after two massive wins, and he's had some big wins in his career before. You know, he knocked out Donald Cerrone. He's had some good wins. But now, you know, as I say, such hot property, he wants to capitalize on it. And I don't blame him, you know. I don't blame him at all. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I mean, who else is there? I mean, Covington and Usman are fighting. There's Woodley out. who else? I mean, what's the top 10? Who's not available? Well, we just have Vicente Luque. There's Ponzi Nibio. But he wants a big fight. And I'm telling you, here's the thing. And Masvidal's right. And again, I'm not kissing his ass. The thing is, he knows that when he fights, now everyone's going to tune in. If you're a fight fan after what he did to Ben Askren and before that to Darren Till, right? If Masvidal's on the card, you're going to watch it. You're going to watch it. You're going to tune in, right? To see if he can follow it up again, right? And he kind of knows his worth. And the UFC are good like that. You know, they were always very fair with me over the years. So I'm sure he can get the right deal he wants. But Dana did say you can't make ultimatums. We'll offer him a fight if he wants it. Great. If he doesn't, he doesn't take it. But we'll see how it all plays out. To quote Dana White, that's what he says. Go ahead. I see you with your finger up. Please.
Well, yeah. You asked who else there was. I mean, obviously, there's always Tyron Woodley there. I mean, Masvidal is number 3. Leon Edwards is number 4. There's no doubt in the world that makes the most sense for a title eliminator. However, I think there's one fight that makes a lot more sense for Jorge Masvidal. That is the winner of this weekend's fight, Anthony Pettis versus Nate Diaz. Tell me that's not a title eliminator waiting to happen.
Well, see, there you go. I mean, that would be the level or magnitude of fight that Masvidal's looking for. You know, Nate Diaz, who I'm referring to, no disrespect to Pettis, great fighter, legendary, former champion, all that good stuff. But Diaz is the one with the name, right? This weekend's pay-per-view is probably going to be, a really, really big one. It's probably going to sell well. I don't know how many, you know, but it's going to be a lot. It's going to spike. If, you know, if we're looking at a graph of the, you know, the latest pay-per-views, this one's going to spike for sure. It's got Diaz on there, DC, Stipe, all the rest of it. If he was to win, yes. Masvidal, Diaz, that's the type of fight that Masvidal's talking about. And I know Diaz likes those kind of fights as well. That would be fucking sick. Diaz versus Masvidal, amazing. The only fly in the ointment with that one is that if Diaz wins, he's probably going to fight Conor. I reckon that's the fight. That'll be the fight. He's had the comeback fight, the return, all the rest of it. That would be my guess as the only reason why that fight wouldn't happen.
I mean, it's interesting for sure. Don't forget, we do anything could happen in that Abu Dhabi card. So I wouldn't, you know, necessarily book Conor immediately for that. The other side of things, you know, if Anthony Pettis does get this win, he's a guy who was a champion at lightweight. He fought for the title at featherweight. I could easily see him. I mean, he is the Wheaties box guy. You know what I mean? He might not be Nate Diaz, you know, but Nate did make that point in the UFC, the 241 thing that just dropped on YouTube yesterday in that countdown show. He's the Wheaties box guy, and that does kind of carry something with it. He's a very recognizable face. I'm looking at his pay-per-view buys here. I mean, they do in the 300,000 to 500,000 range for most of Pettis's pay-per-views. He's a recognizable guy, and that's not a bad fight for Masvidal either.
No, 100%. And again, I sign off on that. I just, as a fan, get a bit more excited about Diaz and Masvidal.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, I agree with everything you said. Of course, Pettis is, you know, he's going to go probably be in the Hall of Fame one day. He's that type of guy. Do you know what I mean? Former champion, always brings it, knocked out Wonderboy. So you're absolutely right. That fight could be a good one as well. So, all right, let's just take a quick second to talk about Sheath Underwear. Sheath is revolutionizing the underwear industry. Take it from me. You got to try these out. They are unbelievably comfortable, effective, efficient. They're just bloody good underpants or underwear, whatever you prefer to call it, Harrington. But not only is their underwear incredibly comfortable, it's also the first underwear that I've worn that has a dual pouch for your downstairs area that keeps everything in place. Now, you know what I'm talking about, Harrington, or don't you? I mean, I don't know. Do you have this problem?
Believe it or not, yes, sir. I do know what it's like to have the gentle cradle of a sheath. When you're making it through your daily life, it's pretty incredible.
Oh, no, it really is. And I'll tell you what, it's the perfect underwear for when you're training. Perhaps you're going for a hike or you just want to go for a run, which is like walking, but you just do it quicker. Or you're just with someone who, you know, shouldn't have to see what you're constantly adjusting your junk. Like if you're at home with your wife or wherever, you know, you don't want to be messing around with it because it's going left or right or whatever. These keep it in place. But that's not the best thing. Sheath underwear is made out of modal. It's moisturizing wicking, it's breathable, and it's flexible, making it the best underwear to wear during these hot summer months. The underwear fits perfectly to your body, and keeps you cool and prevents chafing. Right, let me tell you, they're very, very comfortable. You don't even know you have them on. I'm wearing a pair right now, and you know,
it's almost like you're doing the podcast naked.
Well, I did have no jeans on earlier, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
But anyway. Listen, I say it every time, but people, you need to buy underwear. You need fresh underwear. You want to rotate your underwear. You don't want to be putting on old underpants, okay? So when you need some, I suggest going to sheath.com and using the promo code BELIEVE30. Why? Why is that? Well, they'll give you 30% off the order.
What?
That is why. So go to, oh yeah, it's true. Sheath, S-H-E-A-T-H, sheathunderwear.com, promo code BELIEVE30. 30% off. You are welcome. All right, let's get back into it. Yeah. How long have we been going now? About an hour or so?
A little bit over an hour, yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't got too much time today, unfortunately. I have a meeting in a little bit, so we'll have to wrap it up soon-ish. What should we do? Do we have questions? Should we talk about something? What do you want to do, baby boy?
Well, we do have some questions. I just found this story very interesting earlier. I don't know if you know anything about the world of women's boxing, but Clarissa Shields, two-time Olympic gold medalist, she is one of only seven boxers, either male or female, to hold the WBA, WBC, IBF, and WBO titles simultaneously, is talking about a possible super fight with Amanda Nunes. Any interest in this?
Hold on. I think you might be getting that a little mixed up as well, because I think it's Dana White that is talking about doing this, right?
Well, no.
Super boxing. Dana, I definitely read a quote on some website recently that Dana said, because Zuffa Boxing is going to be launching later in the year, September, October, I think. He said they're building a whole new building at the UFC headquarters that will be dedicated to it. And he wants all the big names, all the big fighters. And he did say Nunes versus Clarissa Shields was something that, you know, potentially they could entertain down the line.
Well, they were looking at, from what I'm seeing here, Clarissa Shields says she may be open to the prospect of fighting her once in the boxing ring and then crossing over into the UFC, you know, for her first fight, make it a marquee banner fight and do the one-on-one that we've always wanted to see between boxing and MMA.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point you made there, because that has been the thing. We've never seen that. We always see a boxer come to MMA or Conor went to boxing. You know what I mean? To make it really fair, it should be one of each. So, right, I'll fight you at your discipline and you fight me at mine. Right. And here's probably what's going to happen in MMA. Amanda Nunes will absolutely, utterly destroy her. Right. It won't even be close. It will be a landslide. Worse than when Randy Couture beat James Toney, right? It'd be violent. It'd be hard to watch. And in the boxing, I don't know either. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you got to think Clarissa Shields has the advantage, of course, but Nunes hits fucking hard. She can take a shot, and she's no slouch in that department. So that I would like to see. The boxing, I would definitely like to see. The MMA, I mean, all right, if you're a fan of watching a nice young lady get absolutely kicked to shit, then yeah, I'd like to see it. You know what I mean? But it would be Amanda Nunes just beating up Clarissa Shields in a cage with 4 ounce gloves on, with strikes, knees, and elbows on the floor. It might get UFC banned forever. You know what I mean? Because it'd be so one-sided, it would be ridiculous. But in the ring, interesting. All right, should we do some questions?
Yes, sir. Brian, I know we have three questions lined up. Let's see here. Let's talk to my buddy Kyle.
All right, let's do it.
Lewis, Mike, what's up? It's Kyle from South Carolina. Got a question, Lewis. When Bisping won the belt, did you shed a fucking tear? I shed a tear, and I don't even fucking know him. I followed his whole career, and I shed a tear. So I want to know, honestly, did you shed a tear? P.S. Walk Hard is the funniest movie ever.
Kyle from, was it South Carolina or North Carolina?
Hilton Head, South Carolina. That's where my parents are from. We'll be down there in a couple weeks. Kyle hit me up, man. But good question.
Oh, is he like a back home boy of yours? You've known that guy for a while?
No. I saw in the email that he sent, it was taken at the, I believe it was the Heritage Pub in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And
The old Heritage. How's it doing these days?
It's not too bad, man. There's, I'm sure there's pictures of you up on the wall still.
I haven't been to the Heritage for quite some time. Great pub. Yeah, excellent food. So, Kyle, Lewis isn't here. We have Harrington. I'm not sure what to say to that question because it's like it's so self-serving of me to let you go and talk about it because you've probably got an answer lined up. Let's hear it. Let's hear what you're going to say to that.
I wouldn't have pulled this question if I didn't have an answer lined up. And what I think would be interesting, let's run it back tomorrow because I want to hear Lewis's story about this. Because I talked to him that night way before I knew him. I was at my ex-girlfriend's house and she loved Luke Rockhold. Like legitimately favorite fighter. She met him once, like, you know what I mean? Like the absolute Luke Rockhold fangirl. And I told her for about a week and a half that you were going to knock him out. And she laughed in my face. I ended up at her place. I had way more money than I really could stand to lose on you to win that fight. And I think it was 3.5 to 1. And immediately you landed the first one. And while you're following him up with the second one, I already knew it was over. I'm standing up. I ripped my shirt off. I kick her front door open. And I just went outside and I screamed for a bit. It was easily the greatest night I had watching a title fight. I got in my car to go hang out, celebrate, enjoy my winnings. And Lewis was on the radio, Sirius XM, the station you guys used to work for, doing the post-fight show. And he was gushing about it, ranting and raving. Him and Dave Smith were both ecstatic about you. And I called in and I talked to the guys. And we nerded out for a little bit about how cool it was that you won the title. I did not shed a tear. Lewis might have. So I do want to get his answer on this. I think it's pretty interesting. But
All right. Well, that's very sweet of you, Harrington. I appreciate that. Very, very kind. As I say, we have gone over this ad nauseum, so I don't want to talk about it too much because our listeners might be like, oh, God, here he is. All right, we fucking get it. You knocked out Luke. Do you know what I mean? Oh. So it's a little tricky for me to discuss. We can't keep, you know, knocking Luke Rockhold every time. You know, God bless the guy.
This has nothing to do with Luke Rockhold. This is 100% a personal vendetta against my ex-girlfriend who might listen to this show.
Well, fuck that bitch.
Thank you, Michael.
You shouldn't say bitch, but whatever. Too late. I said it. Next question.
I agree with you, Mike.
All right, let's take a look at the next video question.
That is Randall Tola.
DJ Mikey B. Luis J. Gomez. Mike, I just finished reading your book. How do you manage to decompartmentalize pain, man? You seem to be able to have a pain tolerance that's on another level. How do you do it, dude? Thanks. Bye.
I mean, look at this guy. What's his name? Randall?
Yes, sir.
Randall Tola.
Randall Tolo. First of all, thanks for the question. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. And if you want to send in a question, bwampod@gmail.com, send them in. Make them creative. Make them funny. Randall Tolo in the park with the shirt off, with the sick abs and the pumped chest, you know, definitely did a few push-ups before he sent in that video. Maybe went down and did some chest and bicep, you know, but, you know, why not? Why not? Compartmentalize. Oh, thank you for buying the book and reading the book. And thank you for enjoying it. I appreciate that. Check it out, guys. By the way, 4.9 out of 5 on Goodreads is what I've been shown evidence. So yeah, 4.9 out of 5. Ooh. Don't know where you're from, but that's pretty good where I come from.
That's incredible. And you might want to take a second to talk about that because I think on Goodreads, if you get like over 50 or something reviews, like your book gets populated a lot more. So if you are a fan of this show, I would say head over to Goodreads and give a glowing recommendation if you did enjoy Michael's book, Quitters Never Win.
Ah, okay. Yeah, please, everybody, believers, just go to goodreads.com and just fucking slam them with like ridiculous reviews. Even if you haven't read it, do us a favor. Okay.
Well, while we're here.
Compartmentalized pain. Oh. Go ahead.
No, go, you go ahead. Trust me.
Okay. Compartmentalizing pain. I don't know. I don't think I even do that. I mean, listen, I'm not a unique individual. You know, fighters are all the same. We're all cut from the same cloth. We want to win. We want to turn our life around. We want to become a better person. We want to give a better life to our families. We want to have money in the bank. We want to be able to afford things. Most of the time, you know, a lot of fighters, they don't come from the best backgrounds. That's not a hard and fast rule, but most of the time. Like, I'm here, I'm studying for the Contender Series tomorrow night. Check it out on ESPN+. And I got to do my research. And nearly every one of these guys, you know, they've got terrible backgrounds. They were in foster care. They were in prison. They, you know, it's not for everybody, you know. And you, most of the time, if you're going to step into an octagon and fight professionally or a boxing ring or whatever it is, you've probably got a couple of demons that you could do with speaking to a psychiatrist about, you know what I mean? There's a reason why you choose to do that for a living. So yeah, I'm not a unique case at all, but I think fighters, you just become used to it. You know, that's the way it goes. And if you can't get used to the pain of fighting, then you're probably not going to continue. You might go to a gym, you know, do some sparring, whatever it is. And if you're like, oh my God, this hurts far too much, you're going to walk away. But if you have the ability to deal with it and the mental fortitude to just like, you know, not let it bother you, then you might, oh, this is fun, and continue doing so. But I appreciate the kind words. I do. Yeah, I think just all fighters are kind of built like that. I mean, right now my knee is still killing me all the time, but I still run on it. Because my doctor is pulling his hair out. He's like, Michael, you're complaining about your knee, but I see you running on social media. Don't run. It's like, well, I like to run, you know. But literally, as I was running around Uruguay the other day, I was going with every step. It was so fucking painful. But when I get to a new city, I want to have a run around, find my bearings, see what's around, just see the people of Montevideo, and just see what's up. And there's no better way of doing that than going for a run, because it's like going for a walk, but it doesn't take as long. Do you know what I mean? And it's less boring, and you're going to sweat, and you're going to get fitter and burn a few calories. Guess what? Here's a revelation. Going for a run is like going for a walk, but it's just quicker. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm doing. That's my walk. I'm mentally walking, but I'm running. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it. No more questions?
I believe there is one more, but before we bring that up, just wanted to let everyone know, if you did want to send in a question, I think you said already, Michael, bympod@gmail.com. While you're out there reviewing Michael Bisping's book, head on over to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you catch the podcast, and subscribe there. Please rate and review 5 stars, the whole nine. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Click the notification bell if you want to know whenever new episodes come out. And if you want pre-access to all episodes, as well as access to every single show on the Gas Digital Network, head on over to gasdigitalnetwork.com, sign up for a 2-week free trial. Promo code BYM. Get everything with, you know, pre-release, ad-free, HD, the whole nine. Last question.
Well, I was going to say, because I do have a meeting that I've got to get to shortly. So we'll save the question for Lewis's, because you wrapped that up so wonderfully, so beautifully and professional, I might add. You know, Lewis really has got to be careful. You know, you're gaining fans, Harrington. You're closing the gap on Lewis's popularity. You may be taking over. You may be the new Lewis. So on that high note, we'll call... Yeah, I'd be embarrassed as well. We'll end it there on that high note. Harrington, thank you for stepping in as usual. No doubt we'll be doing this again next time. Lewis just can't be bothered. In the meantime, everybody, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Tell your friends, YouTube, iTunes, all the rest of it. Please subscribe, tell your mates. And yeah, we enjoy doing the show. And the fact it's growing and getting so much bigger, we really, really appreciate it. So thank you all for listening. And we are going to be back with another show in a couple of days. So look after yourself. Talk soon.